We are launching off last week's sermon, so I'm going to try to do a brief recap, both for those who were here and especially for any who might not have been here. But we were looking at Revelation, and actually, if you want to just flip there again in Revelation chapter 2, we were looking at the passage where Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. And he praises them for a number of things, things he is genuinely delighted in, their choices and their commitment, their faithfulness, things that he genuinely loves about their pursuit. But then in verse 4, he says this, "But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." And we looked at a couple of questions that grow out of that passage. And one is the question is, what are the deeds I used to do? What are the things I used to do that strengthen and nourish my love relationship with God? And then sort of another corollary to that is maybe, and if I've never done them, what do I need to begin doing? And then another question that flowed out of that challenge to repent, is there anything that I'm allowing in my life that actively competes with the love relationship with Jesus Christ? And my expectation is that all of us have to answer yes to that. All of us have to say, of course there are things in my life that compete. And it's what I do with those that constitutes my victory. So we looked at that recognition that he's saying, repent, change direction, and do something about this. Do something about that competition, all the things that compete with your love. Do something about nourishing your walk and either replacing, bringing them back, or learning fresh and new the things that will deepen your love relationship with God. Now, out of that sermon, a number of you basically had questions and challenges that sort of relate to this. And one of the things is again, that word, this, against. That Jesus is talking to the believers at Ephesus, and he's saying, I have this against you. So because I have that against you, we talked about the fact that it's against their flesh. It's against the fact that he's a lesser love. That's what he's against, not the person. And yet, some of you brought this up, the sense that even after you feel like you repent, you still have the feeling of against. That you still have the feeling, you still have the sense, you still struggle with some sense that there is opposition, judgment, and anger coming from God. And I want us to just look at a few passages of Scripture today to reinforce what I believe is a biblical New Testament, for those who are in Christ only, perspective on this recognition. And for most of us, I think, what we're going to look at today is a review. But it's a review that should stir us to celebrate. Even if this is all old hat, even if this is something that you've studied 10,000 times as a believer, that we rehearse these things with celebration rather than rehearse them with sort of a disdain of been there, done that, thought about that, already know it. That this is too important to not celebrate every time the Holy Spirit brings this to our attention. Now, Tim read this passage, so let's go back to that passage this morning he read. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's concentrate starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if I had to try to put together one phrase that sort of captures the first part of today's sermon, it would be this. That repentance. So Jesus is saying, you know what? If I'm not your first love, and you recognize that that's true, repent. Change directions. And that we recognize that repentance is not a destination. In fact, I should put this. Not a destination. It's a direction. And I heard at least a couple of voices say that even before I wrote it. Yes, we know this. That repentance is not a destination, but a direction. And yet one of the things that the enemy really likes to do as the condemner, as the accuser, is he basically says, well, he's still angry at you because you haven't got there yet. Now, just so we can give honor where honor is due, would the person who here can say, Jesus is always my first love, 24 hours a day in every decision, please stand? We'll give you another minute, get over your embarrassment. Okay, nobody can stand. Nobody could stand. That means all of us, every single one of us who are believers, get to be in a process of repentance where we recognize, Father, I woke up today, and guess what? Today again, Father, I love you. Father, today I do truly love you. And I already see in myself hesitation to love you more fully in this area. I already see in myself a habit lived out just yesterday to put something else ahead of you. So, Father, today is going to have to be another day where I keep changing directions to pursue you as my first love. And today, I still won't arrive. Today, I still will not arrive. But I'm committed to continue in that direction. Now, when we're looking at this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, he gives us this, that we're new creatures, old things have passed away. And he uses this word, reconciled. We're going to look at I don't want to jump ahead. So let's look at that word for a while before I muddy the waters with the next word. That this word basically means, here's two things that are moving in different directions. And when I reconcile them, I now get both of them moving in the same direction. They're reconciled. They fit together. They're operating in union. And God's saying, here's what I did for you. I reconciled you to me. Now, when we look at this verse, part of the recognition is this is a past tense verb. God isn't saying, you know what? If you're strong enough, if you're faithful enough, if you're obedient enough, one day, if you're really, really good at this, one day, you might reconcile yourself to me. That is absolutely not what he's preaching. That is not what he's teaching. But very often, that's how we feel and how the enemy gets in to condemn us, is that we're going, I haven't got there yet. I have not fully reconciled myself to God. And you know what? If I can recognize that, my choices are not yet fully reconciled. They are not fully fitted to the will of God. My choices are not yet fully fitted to the purposes of God. my behavior, my attitudes and my actions and the way I treat my family and my brothers and sisters and the people around me is not yet fully reconciled to the heart and the character of Jesus Christ. That's the point of repentance for me. But what he's talking about here is he's saying, but I did something at my end that you couldn't do. I already fitted you to me. I already reconciled you. This is my word. This isn't your word. This is my word. So he's saying God reconciled us. Now, I'm going to have to do a little visual aid here, and I love drawing pictures, as you well know. Even though I have zero skill in the picture drawing area. So if we can picture God, who is eternal, who is outside of time. And we've hit this concept numerous times. We have to hit it again for this. That God's saying you're reconciled, but you're reconciled in Christ. And just to put this passage in its full context, let's read verse 21 again together. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that I'm recognizing, here's Jesus way back in history, and here I am over here, and here you are. And then we put our faith in Jesus. And here's my little timeline. And if somebody could look at my life from beginning to end, even though they would see that moment when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, they could accurately track my history of sin. If somebody knew enough detail, they could say, here is Reg's history of sin. And what God is saying is, when I reconcile you in Christ, what I did is I took this list and I transferred it here. He became your sin. Now, again, I would encourage you, don't just listen to the doctrine today. Don't just listen to the verses. Talk this over with him in celebration. Talk this over with him in gratitude right now so that it goes deeper today than it's been. He's saying, I took your entire list and I transferred it here. And then I poured out my wrath right there. All of my wrath. Not most of my wrath. Not 95% of my wrath. God's not saying, you know, you need to be a little worried because I saved 3% for you. If he'd saved anything for us, we would be hopeless. So he poured out all his wrath here, and now I get to recognize what he's saying is, he became my sin, and then I became a new list. This is incredible what we're getting ready to talk about in these few seconds. Here's Jesus' list. Jesus became Reg's list so that I could become Jesus' list. That's why I'm reconciled to God. And the details of this list are still being lived right now. Today I will sin. I don't plan to sin today. I don't want to sin today. But today I will fall short in some way of the perfection of Jesus Christ. Today I will fall short in some way of the tenderness or the compassion or the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Today I will fall short in some way of the holiness and the righteousness of God in my choices, my behavior, my attitude. This list continues till the day I die. But the list is not my list anymore. It's his list. And I have the list of Jesus' righteousness. Now, that idea is repeated throughout the New Testament. It's not like there's this one little obscure reference here, and maybe we're misunderstanding it. That you and I are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that's why I am reconciled. That's why I'm brought back into partnership and into union with Jesus Christ. So now we have this dilemma that today on Yeah. Good. I started to say July, and I thought, there's no way we're in July yet. March 23rd. What's happening in July? Oh, your birthday? And for your birthday, you were sending me to Hawaii, right? Is that?
California?
Okay. But now, on March 23rd, I'm gonna actually, in some ways, I'm going to do this directionally, so to speak. This is not a political statement, but any arrow pointing to the left is going in the wrong direction. Any arrow pointing to the right is going in the right direction, forward with God. So I will make some choice that's going in the wrong direction today. And I'm going to have to figure out, okay, Father, I made a choice of sin today. And you're against that. How can I possibly be reconciled to you? How can I possibly be at peace with you? How can I possibly be safe in front of you? And it is this interchange that is my permanent. This is my permanent position. So that God's saying, I really want you to learn to think like this more and more and more and more and more. And there is a legalistic tendency in many of us, not all of us, but most of us. There's a legalistic tendency that goes, you know what? This is a little dangerous thing to be teaching. I don't want my 7-year-old believing this too deeply yet. I don't want my 16-year-old out on their first date believing this too much yet. I want them to have a little fear of condemnation. And the bottom line is, we lean that way so naturally. For ourselves, for others around us. Father, I need a little bit of condemnation. I need a little fear. I need a little bit of legalism to keep people in line. Including me. And what God's saying is, no, I've done this in a completely different way, and my way's actually stronger and better. So here's the way my flesh wants it. My flesh wants a father when I'm good. And maybe I just want this for you. But then when you're bad, I want to judge again. Now, many of you I know grew up in homes where this was the flavor of God. That God was a father when you're good. And then as soon as you're bad, man, you better hide under the bed. Because he's going to get you. And now we're older and we've learned the grace of the New Testament, and we would never say it that way. But there's some part of our flesh that still reigns and says, but it is sort of that way. He's a little bit of a judge when I screw up. And part of what he's constantly getting across, and we won't go to the passage because we've been there, I feel like, several times in recent months, but where he says in Hebrews 13, I'm sorry, in Hebrews 12, that a father disciplines. So that's in Hebrews 12. But also in Revelation 3, think about verse 21, where Jesus says again, he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Not those that I've kicked out. I don't stand in a position of judgment. I stand in a father who corrects in the word and brings them back into line. And it's really interesting because reconciled is a done deal. And discipline is the activity that keeps accomplishing it for me in my experience. Discipline means to bring back in line. Reconciled means they're back in line. And he's saying, so when I see that you're living out of line, I bring you back. That's a father loving you. It's not a judge condemning you. And there's a real important point here. Go to, and again, real familiar passage that we've hit on numerous times, but it fits very well right here. 1 John chapter 4. And this is such a crucial crucial passage in its wording. We can't throw this out. In 1 John chapter 4, let's start at verse 17, where he says, "By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment." Confidence in the day of judgment. Not a lot of confidence with a little fear. A lot of confidence. Complete confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And then here's this real crucial turning point of the passage. Because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. So one of the things, again, that several of you shared with me is that feeling that even after I feel like I'm going in the right direction, I still feel a sense of his anger or his displeasure. So even though I'm changing direction, I'm not finished yet. So I'm trying to overcome this battle with anger. I'm trying to overcome this habit of lust. I'm trying to overcome this insensitivity to my wife or my husband. I'm trying to overcome my harshness with the children. I'm trying to overcome how I lie when I feel trapped or stuck in a difficult place. I'm trying to overcome that. But you know what? I did it again today. So he can't possibly be happy with me. I can't possibly be reconciled with him because I did it again today. How many have ever felt that? Yes. He can't possibly be happy with me. He can't possibly be content with me. And he can't possibly hold me reconciled and at peace with him. And I get to recognize this thing that I take my sin, I'm called to take my sin very seriously. Nothing we're looking at is God saying, you know what, that whole sin thing, I took care of it at the cross. Don't even worry about it anymore. That whole sin thing, relax. It's all taken care of. You're going to show up. You're going to come to my presence. And I'm going to go, hey, once you put your faith in Jesus, none of it mattered anyway. Welcome home. That is not the case. Sin matters. But it matters in terms of its destruction, not in terms of damage. And the fact that, not in terms of this particular damage, that God has thrown me out or become my judge. I'm still his son or daughter. I am still one with him. This is a hard concept. How can I possibly be one with him when I'm sinning right now? And what he's saying is, I need you to comprehend how completely I did this stuff in my son's death and my son's resurrection and my son's spirit and life planted in you. I need you to get a larger and a larger and a larger vision that Jesus Christ is your complete righteousness before me. You're reconciled. And in fact, it's because you're reconciled that you can peacefully come to me with your sin and say, Father, I'm here to confess my sin without fear of punishment. I may have to be disciplined to finally come to that moment. But biblically, fear of punishment is a different thing than discipline. Discipline is a father in love. Punishment is a wrathful judge paying me back for my sin. And that's a terrible thing. That's a destructive thing for me personally, should I ever stand in front of God and face his wrath. And if you've put your faith in Christ, you will never, ever, here on this planet or in eternity, if you've put your faith in Christ, you will never face the wrath of Jesus Christ. You will never face the wrath of the Father. You will never face the wrathful judgment of a holy God. Now, let's see which one. Back to that 2 Corinthians passage quickly. Or you can go there slow. I need to get there quickly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And this new creature that you are, and I promise you, we so far have not done one-fourth of the passages I wanted to get to today. Not one-fourth. I know it is shocking, isn't it? I usually cover all of them. I don't know what happened today. But this is part of the mindset that God wants you and I growing in. I once was an old creature, and that old creature deserved condemnation. I should put this, deserved condemnation and was doomed to receive it. In this new creation, now I'm a son. And I'll say doomed. Doomed just means a certain coming. So we'll change it to destined. I am destined to reign. Whoops. As a son or daughter. So I have to build this mindset that, Father, I'm actually agreeing with you. I am not the same creature I was before I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I can honestly say, I don't often feel that way and I don't often think that way. But what God's saying is, Reg, think that way more. Stop believing you're that same creature who's now just added faith to your old person. Who's now just added salvation and forgiveness to your old person. I want you to throw that idea out and start agreeing with me that you are a brand new creature. That you're my son, you're my daughter, and that now that identity comes with a complete different destiny than the old one. This was the only destiny for the old one. If you are not in Christ, and or before you were in Christ, this was the only destiny for that old creature, was condemnation. Now that you are in Christ, this is your only destiny, is reigning with Christ. And now you're seated in that position of righteousness. Now, I'm gonna have to do this real quick. Go to Romans chapter 3. You thought I was taking you to Romans 8. And you're right, but we have to go to the 3 first. In verse 21 of Romans chapter 3. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So here's the second word I wanted to add. Justified. And what's interesting is that this word has a lot of the same basic meanings as reconciled. Something's out of line, and now it's justified. Now it's brought back into line. Now it's reconciled and properly connected again in its original design. So he's saying he's justified, but it's interesting because he says this, that God is both just and justifier. And we've talked about this before because it fits. Well, we got to do it. 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1. Where he says this. If we confess our sins, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And some of your translations say he is faithful and just. He's using the same concept here because he's saying, you know what? What I did at the cross in my son, I promise you, all of my wrath was poured out there. All of it. All of it. So now that I poured out my justice there, if I'm going to continue to be just, if I'm going to continue to maintain my holiness, then for anyone over here or through this timeline, all these different folks who put their faith in him, I am still just in now calling them forgiven. Because guess what? All my justice was satisfied there. God is not playing word games with this. He is not pretending that it was finished there. He's saying, if you're going to comprehend my holiness and what I accomplished in Jesus Christ, and then when you sin and you fear me and you're avoiding me because you're fearing my wrath and you're fearing that I'm going to stay angry at you, and even if you repent, you see that you're not yet arrived, and so you avoid me and fear me still, I want you to comprehend this. It was all finished here. I am just, I am holy to call you forgiven. I am just and holy to call you righteous. This fits in my righteousness. My son took it all, and I'm finished with your sin. I'm so finished with your sin. Now, that recognition that a father disciplines to bring back, that's why we do have to take our sin seriously. We do have to say, Father, I dare not be complacent about my sin. So what he's saying is just stay on the path. A different way to say this, and I don't want to overstate it, but a different way to say this would be that recognition that my only defeat, whoops, that's not a knee, my only spiritual defeat is not growing. So again, if you can recognize every day of your life, you would be able to look at your choices and say, well, again, today I sinned. And that when he's talking, as he did to the Ephesians in Revelation 2, that repent means keep changing direction. Keep changing direction. Keep changing direction. That's your only defeat and my only defeat if we go, wow, Father, I see sin in my life today, and today I decided to do nothing about it. Today I decided to be complacent with my anger or my lust or my selfishness or my meanness or my harshness or my gossip. By the way, that wasn't true gossip, Ron. You didn't know you weren't supposed to share that piece of information. I just want to extend grace to you in front of everybody. That whatever the struggle, that I recognize my victory is to simply persist in growing. And then, and I, time-wise we won't do it here, then we find passage after passage after passage where God says, then I'm for you. So I was against you while you weren't repenting. I was against your flesh while you were willing to go in the direction of sin. But the second you repent, the God of the universe backs you up and says, okay, let's do this together. I'm for you. And then Romans 8, 31 says, and if God is for you, who could possibly be against you? Let's pray. Father, we know this stuff. We sort of get this stuff, but I know that you want us to get it deeper. Father, you want this deeper in my thinking and my celebration. You want this deeper in all of us, where the accuser has less and less and less leverage through the years ahead. Father, not because we pat ourselves on the back for how good we are, but because more and more we comprehend the immensity, the perfection, the completeness of what you accomplished at the cross. Jesus, that you actually took all my sin, past, present, and future. That, Father, you actually poured out all of your wrath on Jesus till there was nothing left. And now for me and for others here, for all of us who actually believe in your Son, who trust your Son's sacrifice, there really is now no condemnation. And Father, your heart breaks when we sin. Your heart does break when we sin. But then you're opposed to our flesh when we refuse to repent. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for every one of us in this room who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, that our hearts would remain tender and soft toward the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Not so that we would be condemned and guilty, but so that we see sin and we repent. We see sin and we change direction. Father, we see sin and we make an agreement with you and we go into your word and we gather ammunition and we go to battle against our own flesh and we stay in the battle till the day we die. Because it will always be a good day to defeat sin. It will always be a good day to please you by growing. And there will never be a day we're obligated to sin or obligated to defeat. Father, help us to not just know these things, but help us to find joy and celebration in these things. Jesus, thank you for purchasing this freedom for us. Thank you that now this holy God who reigns over the universe, we don't have to fear you. We can come be your sons and daughters without fear. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.